For him. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this morning, dear Lord, we're thankful for this day that's been set aside for us to remember our fathers and to pay honor to them. And dear Father, we just realize that it is only by Thy grace that, that men are able to father children as they should, and Father, that they're able to watch after their children in a manner that's pleasing before Thee. And dear Lord, I just pray now that as we look into this passage of Scripture and the things that will be connected with it, dear Father, I pray that You give us open heart and understanding to the principles that are involved with being a father that's pleasing before Thee. And dear Lord, what You do for us, we'll thank You and praise You. And if there might be one here today that's lost, I pray this is the time that You speak to the hearts and draw them unto Yourself. And dear Lord, what You do for us, we'll thank You and praise You for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning is being a just father. Being a just father. Being a godly father, if you will. As we know that today is the day that's been set aside to honor our fathers. And just as it was with our mothers on Mother's Day, this is something that's just and right that we do. Just to as a way of saying thank you to our fathers. Those that are still with us, you need to be sure and thank them for their influence in your lives. And you got to remember, even if your father isn't a godly father, they have influenced your lives in the things that you shouldn't do. So that fathers are an influence one way or the other, whether good or for bad. Whether it is that we're raising our own children, or we're the one that's raising a child in our house, there's no greater privilege than to be a father. And I also want to say that there's absolutely no greater responsibility than being a father. You look through the Scriptures for passages that deals with fathers and that you can apply to Father's Day, and the one thing that you simply cannot get around is the fact that fathers are responsible. They're responsible to God. They're responsible to their home. They're responsible to the community. It is a very, very responsible position that they're in. And we're going to look at things today, and many of them we've looked at before as we've looked at Father's Day, but they apply and are true nonetheless. And we'll look at them today as well. I also want to say at this time that even if a man, for whatever reason, has not had a child, it doesn't make you less of a person. It's just that, just as with some ladies that are not mothers, have never been mothers, that's God's will in your life. It doesn't mean you're any less of a person. It's just how God's will was for you. I can't explain it, but I know that that's how God worked, and it's not some type of punishment for something that you did or may have thought that you've done. Also, before we go any further, I want to help the ladies that are here. I want to help you to be able to understand us men a little bit better. And there's just three things I'm going to mention here. I could mention some more, but for example, when we ask you what's bothering you, and you tell us nothing, we're going to act as though nothing's bothering you. We know the difference. We know there is, but it just isn't worth the fuss to try to get it out of you what it is. So don't get mad at us if we do what you said. But the one I wanted to draw attention to today is, first of all, shopping is not a sport. And there's no way that we're going to ever think of it as being a sport. Two, Sunday equals sports. It's like the full moon and the changing of tides. Let it be. It's just a natural phenomenon. Thirdly, yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers for almost every question. You don't have to go into a dissertation. You don't have to go on for hours and hours and hours. Just a simple yes or no will suffice. Now, I want to help you ladies a little further. We're going to look into what could be referred to as a man's thesaurus. Now, you see, We men are like you ladies in one respect. We don't always say what we mean. So I want to give you a little help in understanding some of the things that it is that we say. So if you see a man who says, it would take too long to explain it to you, what he means is, I have no idea how it works. So just cover it that way. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, what he means is, I can't hear the game over the sweeper. Turn that thing off. When a man says, I can't find it, it means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I am completely clueless as to where it might be.
Amen.
When a man says, you look terrific, what he means is, oh, for heaven's sake, please don't try on one more outfit. We're already late. And finally, when a man says that that's not what I meant, what he means is, if something I said can be interpreted two different ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant it the other way. You can take it that. Also, and this is true, this is a true story. You can't argue with the father's logic. Logic in the father's mind works really well most of the time. For example, there was a fellow who had three boys, triplets. And these boys grew to be extremely close to one another. In fact, they were so close to each other, when one of them did something, the other two wouldn't tell which one did it. So one day a friend asked the father, he said, what do you do when one of them misbehaves, when one of them tears up something, when one of them does something that is terribly wrong? And the father said, oh, that's no problem. I just send all three of them to bed without their supper. The fellow said, well, what? How does that help you solve the problem? He said, well, in the morning, when I see whichever one of them has a black eye, that's the one I spank. Father's logic. Seriously now, the simple fact is that if you want to make an impact with your life, be a godly dad. If you want to make a positive influence with your life, be a godly father. The importance of fathers is obvious, and yet it's so often overlooked. One of the things that makes it overlooked so much today is the fault of dads. Dads don't want the responsibility. Dads don't want to be burdened. Dads don't want to be tied down, so they just let everything, leave everything for the mother, and just let everything go however it's going to go. Everyone has a father, whether good or bad, present or not, and the actions or inaction of our dads has a profound effect on us the rest of our lives. It's been shown that it affects everything from IQ to income levels, and from graduation rates to incarceration rates. This is why daddy issues is a recognized term, and why so many people go through their lives trying to earn their father's approval. And so many times, when those are going through spending their life trying to find their father's approval, they don't even find it. Because regardless of what they do, it's just simply not good enough. For one reason or another. A person might have a slight influence with co-workers and their peers and those that they're around, but it is dwarfed by the impact that dad has on his kids and the fact that what he can do molding the lives of his kids. To make sure that it is a good impact, you should take your cues, and we should take our cues, from the only father who is fully and perfectly good, and that is our Heavenly Father. See the way he deals with us, how he deals with his children, how he deals with those that he loves in all aspects of our lives. And it's a pretty good pattern for us to follow. Let us now take time to look at the characteristics that are taken from God's Word of what a godly father, what a just father should be like. First of all, a godly father teaches. They have to teach. Your child's education is not the responsibility of the school, nor is it the responsibility of the church. Your child learning is your responsibility as a father. The church and school are just supplements. It's been calculated that children only spend about 10% of their childhood hours at school. Well, it's hard to believe what they can do in 10% of their time, though, isn't it? That means that they are learning from you, the father, 90% of the time. What to do, what not to do, how to act, how to react, and the issues of life. Today, you have to spend a lot of time undoing what schools are doing. I just can't recognize school today from what it was like when I went to school. It doesn't resemble it in the least. There's no wonder that everything is in such a mess when you see the way that the children are being taught and what's being crammed down their throat. It's not they say, well, we're just teaching what is being going out in society, preparing them to go out in society. Well, you know, they are catering to the whims of the men, of the minute, the minority, the few, while the whims of the majority are being cast aside, set aside. I saw this past week where in Virginia, I think it was Fairfax County, they could do some pretty rough punishments for a child who deliberately misgenders another child. Misgenders. There's only two. You're either a boy or you're a girl. You're not in between. You're not halfway. You're not hung. If you don't know what you are, we can take care of that for you real fast. You are how God made you when you were born.
Amen.
There's no such thing as misgendering somebody. But that's what is in our school systems now. That's what's being taught to our children. It is the primary job of parents according to the Scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, a verse that we are all familiar with. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is not a promise, that is a proverb. It is a smart saying. But it was mean, even if a child does go off and get into evil, it's not a promise that he won't, but he'll never get away from what he heard. He'll never get away from what he's taught. And this is talking in the male sense, and I believe here, that's talking about children in general, male or female. It doesn't matter. Gender neutral here in this case. It could be either one. What's this mean? Training up a child in the way that he should go is far more than helping out with English, history, reading, or algebra. It's a lot more than that. It's teaching a child about God's Word and how it relates to life and the things that matters most in life. I remember when I never have been, not to this day, good in math. It's just not my strong suit. And I can remember one time, about eighth grade, I think it was. My dad was helping with some math homework I had. And he got the right answers, but the way he was working it was not the way the teacher was teaching us how to work it. And it finally got to the point to where the teacher looked at me and said, "Don't have your dad help you anymore." But he was trying. But what I learned from my dad about life was far more important than anything I learned about math or anything else from him. As fathers, we need to be a pattern of God's Word. Such how? Hardworking, diligent, faithful, honest. The list could go on and on and on. It could be like the things we saw on the inside page of your bulletin today. All the principles that should be in a godly father's life. God's Word tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What's it talking about here? What's he telling us? Does that mean you're not supposed to talk about anything else? No. But what it's saying, that there's not a situation in the day that you can't talk to your children about the principles of God's Word. And make it applicable to what you're going through, what you're doing, what your situation is, how you're dealing with things. You know, I've seen fellas that used some very colorful adjectives when things went wrong. When they would smash their thumb or do something, knock the bark off their knuckles in the presence of children, turn purple and pink and every other color and trying to find words to use, not what they wanted to say. It was rather funny, to be honest with you. But God already knows what those were in your heart and what you were thinking. And they need to be repented of. Because children, they're a whole lot smarter than we give them credit for. They see and they know a whole lot. That's the 90% your kids are always learning. So you should be always teaching them by action or by words, by principles, by everything they see, what it is to be a child of God. This goes beyond what you say. It's by these principles that we should be living. It's far important to live these things than it is just to talk about it and to teach them. We're going to look at some other verses here now before we move on. It says, we know that children will benefit. It's not something that is just set aside, but children will benefit from listening to the parents. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. There's a benefit to it. Don't set it aside. Don't just forget about it. You know, there's a marvelous transition that happens with a child. You know, a child looks to the parents as being able to solve any problem, all problems. And mom and dad has all the answers. Mom and dad are the smartest people in the world. They can do anything. And then all of a sudden, that child gets into adolescent years and into teen years, and all of a sudden, mom and dad are the dumbest people in the world. They're wondering they even have sense enough to come in out of the rain. They don't know anything about anything. They don't understand anything. They're so far behind the times. And then when that child reaches young adult and begins to go out on their own, it's amazing how wise mom and dad become again. Forsake not the law of your mother. Do not hear the instruction of your father. Because they have learned through experience most of the time. And they know what it is to what the results are if you don't do it and what will happen in your life if you do. Children will gain insight from listening to their fathers. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Listen to what he teaches and pay attention to the principle that's being taught. You know, Aesop's fables is always at the end of it, had the moral of the story. See what's behind what he tells you. You see, a godly father, he may, out of frustration, if a child asks that question that absolutely drives a parent out of their mind, you know, why? And out of frustration, that parent may say, because I told you to, that's why. That answer covers everything, really. But if you listen to what, there's a reason behind what they say. It's not just because they don't want you to do something, or they want you to do something just to be doing it. It's something that will make you a better person if you will apply it and learn from it and begin to make the principle, see it coming from the Word of God. What He said. How He said we should do it. How He said we should live. The godly father will encourage and exhort your children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And sometimes, when a child has done everything that they can on a project of some kind, is it as good as you would have done it? No. Does it look nice? Possibly not. But what do? Do you point out every flaw? Do you point out every mistake? Do you point out everything that they did that they should have done better? No. You exhort them. You tell them what a good job. You talk about how they took the initiative to do something and how proud you are of what they did. Because, you know, if they keep doing, the skill will come. If they have any dexterous skill with their hands at all, that will come. But, beloved, we are to exhort our children, not run them down continually. I've seen a lot of kids that have their spirit broken because they had a parent or parents that just didn't exhort them. They didn't encourage them in anything. It didn't matter what they did. If they did anything wrong, that was the major. That's what everybody went on. That's what they all harped on. And, beloved, that's not any way to raise a child. Encourage them. Exhort them to keep doing, to keep trying, to keep working, because that is the way that Paul had treated them at Thessalonians in the church that was there. And that's the same way that God expected them to be treated. Now God expects us to do that. This is a responsibility that goes all through the life of a father. You never get so old that you can't teach your child. Because children, they never get old enough to be perfect. And as long as you're alive, if you see them doing something wrong, you have the responsibility as well as the right to, in a proper way, correct them. Fathers are to continually look out for what is best for the children, regardless of the age. Children must learn that they are never so old that they cannot benefit from what their fathers and mothers teach them. You don't get so old that you can't learn. Secondly, a godly father or a just father provides an example worth following. The simple fact is that you cannot be a godly father unless you live out what it means to be a godly man. You know, you can't be one of those that quote the good book, as you usually hear them say, and what they're quoting is maybe three or four words that are right, and the rest of the stuff has been added to it to make it sound like they want it to. That doesn't teach anything. If you're going to live out or teach what a godly father needs to, you're going to have to know what the Bible says yourself. Which means you're going to have to study the Bible. You're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to ask God to light on the page, God to help you, God to instruct you, if you ever expect to be able to instruct somebody else. You know, you can't teach what you don't know. It's just a simple fact. You know, I there for a while when I taught sixth grade, I got to sixth grade math and I got into basic algebra, and I said before, math's not my strong suit. So what did I do? I spent everything I could just to make sure I was one day ahead of the kids. You know, when the next day class come, I could show them what they needed to see, and then be able to hit it again for the next day. Why? I can't teach what I didn't know. You can never show a child how to live a life pleasing to God if you're not pleasing God by your life yourself. It's as simple as can be. This is because although kids may fail to do what you say from time to time, they very rarely fail to see what you do. Good or bad, they see what you do. They pick up what you do. They act the way you act. Where do you reckon that little kid, and this is, I've gone on this hobby horse many times, I know, but it still irritates me. Where do you reckon that little kid that can just talk a little bit, or maybe they're a good talker, but they're still just a little toddler, where do you reckon that little kid learned how to cuss like a drunk sailor? They didn't learn it on their own. They learned it from their parents. That's her. Where do you reckon a child learns to despise, I don't want to use the word hate, but it could be applicable here, to despise somebody just because they're different than them. They may look a little different. They may be a different color. They may be from a different area. They may be from a different place. They may be from a different state. Whatever it may be. Where do they learn that hate? From the parents. Children aren't born with that. They see another child, they're going to play with that little child, irregardless of what that child looks like. And that's how it ought to be. You see, they may not know what we they may not follow what we say, but they never miss what we do and how we act and how we react. And sometimes that's just frightening us and causes us to take a step back before we go any further. No matter how much you try to teach them something, they will be unlikely to listen to you at all if they say you're doing the opposite. You know, the old adage, don't do as I do as I tell you to do, is not worth the time it says it. Because they're going to do what you do. And we need to remember that. You see, a child, they are little hypocrisy detectors. And they can pick it up really fast. It doesn't take them very long. While they may not say anything about it now, but it will definitely show up in their behavior later in the way they do. They won't behave in the things of God or the things that they should because they don't believe. They won't believe the truth in it. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 24 says, "How therefore, which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking of the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." They don't behave as they ought to properly because you're not behaving as you ought to properly before God. Remember I said at the outset, there's no way that you can deal with Father's Day without getting into responsibility. And it's, I like the one time I had a Father's Day sermon that was all flowery and puff and, you know, good news and all this, that, and the other, but as of yet, I've not found it in Scripture. Looking at the opposite. On the other hand, if you live out what you teach, your children will benefit. That we saw that from the verse we had in our text. If you live these things out, your children will see that they are important. They are important to you, and if they're important enough for you to do it, then they should be important enough for us to do it, for me, for myself to do it, or for I'll do it, or however they want to say it, or however they want to look at it. You understand the point I'm making? It is also important that we live out these things consistently. And not just when they are convenient for us too. Most time we live out the principles of God's Word when it's convenient, not consistently. Even though you may not be able to see it at first, these are the things that builds character, the character of your child. This is something that we can not only buy, this is something that we can do only by and with the help of God. Because we'll fail in our flesh. Our flesh is weak, but too many times it's too easy just to give up and quit. But if we want to succeed, if we want to be faithful, then we have to do it continually, consistently. You know, the Bible talks about in regard to a charge to a preacher that they are to be instant in season and out of season. That same charge can be made to a parent. It must be instant all the time. There's no excuse for us to not be diligent. In order to do what we must do, we must be willing to spend time with our children. This is also a true story, and I want you to catch the end of this one very much. There was a man who was an executive in this big company, and it required a lot of his time. And even when he was at home, he was either constantly on the phone or working on his laptop about business matters. One day, a little boy came up to him and said, "Daddy, how much do you make an hour?" And irritated the father, but he looked at him and said, "I make $40 an hour." The little boy went off. Dad sent him away. And after a while, his dad started feeling bad about what he said and how he said it to his child. And he went to the little boy's room, and the little boy was praying and asking God. He said, "God, please let me get $15 more so I can buy an hour of my daddy's time." And that's a true story. If that don't touch your heart, I don't know what will. There's no substitute for the time that you spend with your child. It may be silly. It may be foolish. It may have to cramp your style a little bit for what you want to do. But there's no substitute for it. And it's utterly dependent and important on what we do. Some other verses that we have in this regard. We are to be a good model of a believer. Titus 2, 7 through 8 says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you." Be a good model. Don't let them say anything truthfully about you that would attack your character, especially in the eyes of your children. It's true even of a young father. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now I know, I'm fully aware that that verse is spoken to a young preacher. But again, the same principle applies. Don't let them despise you because you're just a young dad getting started. And don't you sit back on your high horse and look at the young dad and say all the things he's doing wrong. He's learning just like we did when we were young fathers, young individuals. Even if when we look in the mirror, it looks like it's been a long time ago. We must remember the ones that come before us, the ones that we pattern our lives after. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." We have in our presence men that have raised their children, men that have had children that have gone on to follow the Lord and be godly people themselves. We need to remember the things that we were taught from them, the things we learned from them, and don't fail to remember them. And it doesn't hurt to ask their advice once in a while if we need to. And we should not be afraid for our children to follow us. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, and as I also am of Christ." Beloved, we shouldn't be afraid to let children follow our steps and do the things that we do. Thirdly, and I'm going to wrap up with this one. Well, I've still got about 10 minutes, don't get excited. A godly father or a just father disciplines his children. The D word here is something that's not very popular today. Society has made it nearly impossible to discipline your child as you should. Because if you do what you ought to do with a child, according to the scripture principles, that child then can go and complain, and the next thing you know, you're in a whole heap of hot water with the government, social services, for what a child has claimed and said about you. But yet, we must discipline our children. It kind of puts a quandary there, because if you see a child that is, what we would use our terminology, is nothing but a spoiled brat, a monster, a little heathen, whatever terminology you want to use. When you see a child that's that way, you see a child that has never been disciplined. That child's gotten everything at once. That child does everything at once. That child is never acquainted with the word no. All the things that are part and parcel of raising your children. We know that there are bad examples of how some ungodly, unloving fathers use discipline as an excuse for abuse, which is never right, it's never justified, it's never excused. However, even though that is so, a godly father, including God the Father, will discipline out of love. In fact, it's unloving not to provide discipline for your child. Because you know where they're going to end up. You know what's going to be the outcome. You know what's going to happen as a result of it. When a child is insistent on heading down a harmful path, the most loving thing you can do is correct them. This is what we're told in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That is when he needs it, when it has to be done. Nobody, the child certainly doesn't like it, and the father doesn't like doing it. But it's what has to be done once in a while. And I found, or we found, I should say, with ours, that once he found out that when we said, if you do that one more time, this is what you're going to get, that if he did it, that was what he got. The worst thing that a parent can do in regard to discipline is tell them they're going to do something if they do it and they do it and it never happens. There's no consequences. There's no punishment. It's just almost as if it's rewarded. You know, I've seen this before. Getting a child to eat things, certain things. The best way to get a child to eat food, different foods? Put it in front of them. Eat or go hungry. Choice is yours. And you'll be surprised, or they may be surprised, how much they like things. Now, if it's there, everybody has foods they don't like. We all do. Adults have it. Children like it. You know, put something down there you know that they've tried they don't like. But if they just have never even tried it before, how do you know? Maybe it'd be something that isn't, just, you know, I haven't said that. I will say right now, in front of everybody, there has been stuff that Dale Osborne eats that I ain't tried, but I don't intend to ever try. That's just as simple as I can say it. My palate is not that far. I'm going to go that far. Discipline should always be fair. If you have more than one child, if you discipline one for doing something in particular, you don't allow the other one to do that very same thing and get by with it. If you discipline one for it, you discipline the other one for it. And discipline them the same way for what they've done. Discipline, as I said, should always be carried through. Don't threaten something unless you're going to carry it out. Discipline that is done unfairly, inconsistently. You know, sometimes I've seen a child get wore out for doing something and they do it again another time and nothing's done. Inconsistently. If you do that or hypocritically, it can rightly frustrate your child. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Done correctly, discipline is only momentarily unpleasant and brings about long-term benefits. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You learn. They don't do it anymore. And then later on, they'll be able to see why it was important that they do so. You know, we have to understand that discipline is a sign of our love for our children. Proverbs, as I said, that sometimes I wish my parents hadn't loved me so much. But it is nonetheless. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Why? You want to keep that child on the right path. Beloved, there's more that we could get into this morning, but I think we've not taken it far enough to where we understand that it is important for every one of us who have already grown, if our fathers are around, to thank them for the job they did. Thank them for the love that they showed. Thank them for the concern that they had for you. Thank them for shaping your lives. Beloved, if you have children that are grown and they are living a life that's pleasing to God, thank God for their lives. Thank God for what He's done in their lives. Thank God for Him using you in their lives. And if you have children that aren't grown, apply these principles. Your child will be better for it. Your child will grow and be nurtured and will mature and turn into being a godly individual, more likely than not. Responsibility of the child. How to be a just father. Follow the principles of the Bible. Let's pray.